Welcome to Learn to Live Stress-Free. This is Christine Wright with Dr. Robert Wright Jr., your go-to wellness coaches of www.stressfreenow.info. Our topic today is the value of having a mentor. Our guest again is Sharon Saylor, who is an international communications trainer, speaker, best-selling author, and CEO of the strategic communications firm Competitive Edge Communications, a company devoted to teaching professionals around the world how to be courageous leaders using critical behavior relationship, leadership, and communication skills. Ms. Saylor is also a member of Dr. Marshall Goldsmith's stakeholder-centered coaching team. Ms. Saylor works with a wide range of clientele, private clients, executives, entrepreneurs, universities, corporations, and organizations such as Delta Airlines, Yale Graduate School of Management, Women's Executive Leadership Council, and the International Coaching Federation. As a published author of 7 books, her latest book, Mindfulness in Action, How to Create Peace Amidst the Chaos, reached the international Amazon bestseller list, while her book, What Your Body Says and How to Master the Message, Inspire, Influence, Build Trust, and Create Lasting Business Relationships, published by John Wiley & Sons, has been translated into 6 languages and is used in universities around the world. She's also the host of eWomen's Network Radio's popular podcast, Life Interrupted Radio, Helping You Thrive After the Unexpected, broadcast every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Once you get to know Sharon like we have, you'll find her real passion is in discovering how the beliefs we hold and the choices we make create the life we have. Audience, welcome. Sharon, we're very happy to have you here.
Oh, my pleasure to be back. It's always fun to be with you too.
Welcome, Sharon. I want to thank you for being our special guest again today. Sharon, during your last visit with us, you discussed how to avoid being emotionally manipulated at work and at home, and how to eliminate the chaos in your life and achieve emotional balance. Today, we want to dig a little bit deeper and discuss why having a mentor is so important to success and how individuals can find the right mentor for themselves. Can you briefly tell our audience why having a mentor is such a valuable experience and why having a mentor is critical for being successful in your personal life and career?
Oh, my goodness, that's a big question. We could spend a long time on that.
We only ask big questions here, Sharon.
I know. I am a huge fan of mentors in all shapes and forms because as a lifelong learner myself, I think we can learn new ways, new perspectives from just about anybody, even if it's like, not going to do that. So let's define mentor a little bit more succinctly. When seeking out a mentor, someone that has some knowledge or expertise or some talent or skill that you would like to learn. I find too often that when people seek a mentor, they jump into this idea that this mentor is some sort of non-human guru, all-powerful, all-knowing. And then when they begin to realize they're attracted to this person for their knowledge or their skill, their talent, but then they begin to realize that the person is also human, there's a huge disconnect. A moment some grief happens, some, oh my goodness, what I just learned may not be worthwhile because all of a sudden this person showed they were human. So for me, when I seek out mentors, it's seeking out the wisdom and the knowledge, the skill, the talents that they have that I would also like to incorporate in my life. And it's not about seeking a mentor that is going to become some sort of master or guru in your life. There's someone who's willing to walk along the path with you instead of pull you down the path or jump you over to their path and have you follow only that path.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. As you were speaking, one of my favorite people came to mind, a teacher that I had, and I actually followed him so much and so long. I met him in college as an undergraduate, and I stayed with him until the end of his life. And I kept going to his class, and he said to me, he said, "Why are you still coming here? You know everything I teach." I would have just followed him anywhere because he was such a beautiful, loving person. I never particularly thought of him as a mentor, but then when I realized at some point what a constant he was in my life. And at his memorial service, he was, I think, 79 when he passed on, and people who met him through every stage of his life in different careers, they described the same loving character. And
that's delightful when we find people like that.
Yes, exactly. That solidified it all. It was just, and he comes to mind. Because Sharon, Bob and I, too, were lifelong learners. And this topic of mentorship, of having someone guide you, of having someone point out as you're crossing the stream, where are the rocks so you can stand on the rocks and not fall in the water, we haven't always had that. As a matter of fact, sometimes we've had people in our way. But what are the characteristics an individual should seek in a mentor, and how do you recognize them? How do you find them? How do you approach them? It's almost, you know, as I'm asking the question, seems like a dating thing. How do you know this mentor is the match for you?
Well, it is somewhat of a dating type of thing if we want to look at it that way. There has to be commonalities. There has to be points of reference that you two agree on, and that doesn't mean that you always agree with a mentor. We want to come to mentors with our own points of view and say, be able to have the deep conversations of, tell me your view, tell me your why, tell me how you know that, so I can begin to incorporate how it works for me. And the best way to select mentors is, first off, in your own world, determine what it is that you need or want to know. Now, sometimes it can come serendipitously. One of my lifelong mentors, he's still around, I'm so thankful he's still around and been in my life for over 20 years, happened serendipitously. I was attending a conference, a weekend event, and my first exposure to NLP. And one of the speakers, actually, his name is Michael Grinder, the brother of one of the founders, John Grinder, and he was giving a morning lecture, and his expertise is nonverbal communication. I was mesmerized. And that just intrigued me so much that I sat there and just was frozen in time, as I remember it. He came up to me on a break and whispered in my ear, "Let's go for a walk." And I'm like, okay. I'm pretty shy and introverted. Went for a walk, and it was like a psychic reading. And I was like, how did he know that? But he's an expert in nonverbal communication, remember? We sat down, and he leans over, and he goes, "Oh, and if you think with your mouth closed, you'd look more intelligent." Well, he had me hooked. I'm like, I got to know what this man knows. I mean, wow, I got to know what this man knows. But the wonderful thing that is with most and a lot of mentors are they start out mentoring you, and that's true. But over this 20 years now, there are times when I'm giving him ideas, I'm giving him insights, and you know, so now it's become a true friendship instead of what I'll call this mentorship where one person might be taking the lead at the beginning and showing you the rope, showing you the rocks and how to get to where you need to go. So mentors have lots of different uses in your life, and some of them might be critical, and that's okay. It's not a realizing that you are there to develop a friendship, develop a relationship of whatever it needs to be and whatever the person is willing to share. Now, sometimes people aren't willing to share, and that's fine. You just thank them, and sometimes it's just about planting the seeds. Maybe at one time you approach them about, you know, John, I am so fascinated by your skill of how you're able to stand up in front of a group on a moment's notice and give just an impassioned speech. I would love to learn more about that. Would you be willing to share with me some of the things that you do? And sometimes people, you catch them in the wrong moment, and they might say no. But it's okay. You've planted that seed. And it may not be that person that shows you, but I'm a firm believer that just by planting that seed, your unconscious mind will go out and look for the right mentor for you. So even if that person says no, you've planted that seed in your own mind that this is something that you want to learn. And pretty soon you'll start seeing doors open up everywhere where you're finding people that are excellent public speakers and willing to share how they are excellent public speakers. So sometimes it's not just about that one person or that one technique you're fascinated. It's just by planting the own seed in your mind to go and find it.
Excellent. You know, I think there have been times in my life when I needed to plant that seed. There have been times I've actively and with full awareness sought a mentor. But there are other times when people were there willing to mentor me and show me the way or give me guidance. But especially when I was younger, I didn't know. I didn't recognize that this was an opportunity. So it wasn't a clear follow me and I'll show you this. But information was given, a relationship was being extended, the opportunity for a relationship. And I didn't know. And it was years later I said, oh, I wish I'd followed that up. Or I could have, but I didn't get the signal. You know, as someone being my mentor, can you explain, you know, in this dynamic, what is it that encourages someone to be a mentor or to say yes when someone approaches them? Is there a way that you approach a mentor? You know, as you said, they can easily say no, but do you keep going back to the door or do you look someplace else? How do you get your yes?
Well, every mentor I've had and those people I choose to mentor myself, I say it's recognizing the person's potential. It's hearing in their voice the passion that this isn't just an arbitrary curiosity, that this is something that they really are sincere about, and recognizing that this person does have that potential and that it is a true passion or longing that they're seeking. For me, that's one of my first criteria. And I know it sounds kind of harsh, but we all have only limited time. And if somebody's just on a lark, or if somebody else comes to me and this is truly something that they're desiring deep and it will change their life profoundly, you know, who am I going to give my time to? I'm going to extend my time because I see the potential in the one that wants to really incorporate this in a way that will have a profound change for them, because I know, as a person, we can only change so many people. We can only help so many people change. I apologize, we can't change people. We can show them ways, but they have to choose to change there.
Right. Yes. The light bulb has to want to change, yes.
Right, exactly. But, so it's all about, here again, planting the seeds. If I am the mentor and I can see the one person really will take those seeds that I plant within them and spread them even further, that's where I choose to put my time as a mentor.
Right. I remember years ago in New York, I went to a lecture, and the person speaking, he had wanted to meet a certain executive. And he called the office, and, you know, the person was busy, couldn't speak to him. But what he did was he made it a plan, a strategy. Every Friday at, I don't remember the time, he said 8 a.m. or what time it was, he called without fail for an entire year. He got to know the executive assistant so well. He knew, you know, when the weddings were happening in her family, the christenings, and he called without fail every single Friday for a year. And finally, the fellow said, okay, I'll speak to you for 10 minutes. What do you want? And to me, it does look, a little highly assertive, but it worked, and he got
nothing wrong with being highly assertive there. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. It really, in a way, it looks assertive. Yes, I understand that, but actually it's also showing that you're determined and that you're passionate about it. And the person could still have choose to ignore them for, you know, 5 or 10 years. It's up to them. But that's one way to determine if the person's serious or not, is how often are they willing to continue to extend themselves or put themselves in that situation. Because it had to take a lot of courage to pick up that phone every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and just talk to the assistant one more time.
You know, when I listened to the story, but, you know, his theme just through his whole life was this one of perseverance, of stepping outside the box, doing things that he was afraid to do. I know myself, I love learning, and I'm like, where's the master? Who's the master? Who's going to teach me? And I think at some point we come to the realization that we're the master in our own life. And I know that I also look to be a mentor to others, and I see that I have something, and, you know, I'd love to teach this person or show this person or guide this person. But as was my case sometimes when I was on the end of being a mentee, I didn't realize it was an opportunity. So sometimes I'm ready for the student. What are some organizations where people can join or go to find a way to be a mentee?
Well, to be a mentee or mentor, I say find something you're fascinated in instead of like going, you know, mentor on the going in searching in Google, find a mentor for me. It's really more about going to the types of events that you want to go to. So say you want to be also internet marketing, get better at internet marketing. Go to events where internet marketers go to. And it's similar to when we're building a business. And years ago, my first business that I opened was a graphic design and marketing business. But the interesting thing was everybody says, oh, you need to join the Graphic Design Association, the National Graphic Design Association. I went to one meeting and I went, no, these are my contemporaries. I want to go where the people I need are, like who's going to hire me as a designer. So I joined the American Marketing Association instead. Similar type of thing. When you're looking for a mentor, go to where those types of people hang out and find them. Because just going online and finding a mentor, you may or may not like that person. But if you're going to associations or events where there's things that you want to learn, you're not the expert, you're the newbie, you're going to just find massive amounts of people. And then you'll sort like have an interesting conversation with half a dozen and go, you know, that one over there really resonated with me. I'm going to follow up very doggedly, or you said assertively, with that one person to see if I can get some more time with them, see how I can. And the thing about being a mentee, to encourage people to mentor you, is there. Sometimes it's helpful if you can be a service to them, too. They don't want to feel like it's an imposition on them. So respect their time. Be of service to them. If you begin to understand them a bit more, like the person who made the phone call to the assistant for over a year, during that time, you learn a lot about that person, some of their likes and dislikes, and maybe you find out they like fly fishing, and you send them someone you know that an expert in tying flies, you know, like, dear Bob, I'd like you to meet John. He's, you know, I've heard about your interest in fly fishing. So be of service to them as well. So then it becomes more of a real relationship instead of feeling like there's a lack of balance or an imbalance, too. So the long answer, that was the long answer. The short answer is just go to places, take classes of things you like, and those people will be there.
Excellent. I see that. And certainly the idea of reciprocity, that it's not a one-way street, and that at some point you will maybe asking questions, the hard questions of your mentor, that you may be exceeding them or challenging them, but that it's a strong enough and sound enough relationship that you can really express yourself. And with that time, the boundaries over time may come down, and it's a different type of relationship that it truly is a back and forth.
That's what I love about my relationship with Michael Grinder, and that's been a long one. I've had many, many mentors for my life. He's probably the longest consistent one. And now over the years, it's come down to where I've edited his books for a few years. And now we are two people sharing great ideas instead of sometimes he learns from me and sometimes I learn from him. And so that's what I think is so powerful of that mentee-mentor relationships is helping them evolve over time so both people get a lot out of it. It doesn't feel like it's a one-way street.
Thank you. That's lovely.
Great, Sharon. You know, I've been listening in, and two things that really strike me from what you've said. The first thing is that Christine used my term. I have here circled to ask you about reciprocal relationships, and I was going between, am I going to ask that or reciprocity? And so she went there. So that shows me we're on the same page. And then something else that you said, which was, I think, is really important for our listeners, and I know it's important for Christine and I when we hear this term, that you use the phrase, the mentor would show you where the rocks are. And I think, can you just talk a little bit about that? Because there's a joke that I know, which I won't say, but the thing is, this thing of knowing where the rocks are so you don't sink, you know, you see people walking out in the water, and you go, well, gee, you know, I could do that too, but you have to know where the rocks are. So could you just talk just a little bit about that aspect, that where the mentor brings to the table a level of insight and expertise, or they have the huge Rolodex, and they say, hey, listen, don't waste your time over there. That's a fake out. Here, this let me call, put you in touch with this person, and then you're set. And so without that, you could be spinning your wheels literally for years.
Right. And I like to put mentors in sort of classifications. There's the ones, as you said, Christine, to pop into your life. You have moments or times of great insight, and then they pop out of your life. But it's planted those seeds for you to find different learnings and different opportunities. And then there's the ones that stay in your life a long time. And it's more about the intellectual learning. It's more about the broadening, the expansion, the opportunities. And then there's the mentors out there that you see more in professional world, corporate world, than you do in personal life, in your personal kinds of mentors. Is what I call the mentor champion. Now, a mentor at work is really a different type of relationship. It's usually, especially if it's a different gender, so you have to be quite careful when you have a mentor in your professional world that everything, I don't care if you know it's completely appropriate, you have to make sure that everyone obviously knows it's completely appropriate. Because sometimes those relationships can look like somebody's playing favorites, or we'll say, you know, let your mind wander. We don't want any of that to happen when we have a mentor in our professional world. It has to always look, even if you know in your heart it is, it always has to look to the obvious person that the patterns are, they're just professional. And what a champion does is shows you the rock, shares the Rolodex, and promote you, because they know so much about your potential, they know so much about how you are and how you operate in the world, that they're willing to go to bat for you. And that's a different kind of mentor. That's what I call the mentor slash champ, the person who champions you in front of the board, in front of the other managers. When they're having those management meetings of who needs to be promoted, each one of those managers has a person on their list. Now, you want the mentor champion who's saying, this is the one, and this is why. This is, you know, and everybody else goes, oh, okay, that's the one. So there's different levels of mentors as you go through your world and as your life, and they're not mutually exclusive. You can have them all at the same time. So you don't have to worry that, oh, I can only have one mentor. No, you can have a mentor champion in your, you know, you can have a mentor about learning how to be better at the projects you do at work. You can have many, many at once. But my number one rule about being a good mentee is don't whine. Be grateful and always acknowledge how grateful you are for the time that they're spending with you, whether they're the ones that in your life for just a moment or the ones that are throughout your whole life, or the ones that are your champions. Don't whine.
Sharon, you're the first person that I've ever heard use that term, mentor, champion, and certainly, for me at least, clearly that's a distinction with a difference. I think that's what everybody would want why have a mentor when you can have a mentor champion? And so, again, there's an element of reciprocity there. When you were talking about the clarity that's necessary so that a relationship doesn't get misunderstood, we've been recently watching Perry Mason episodes. Watching those shows through the eyes of a child or a teenager and then watching them now years later, we say, oh, how come we didn't see these things in the Perry Mason in terms of what was going on? And so there is mentoring going on there, but as an adult now watching it, there is plenty of room for things to be misconstrued. In the business context, and the example that so clearly is, it's almost ridiculous when you look at the Boston Legal TV episode with Denny Crane, and it just the things, even when it's a female partner that's mentoring female lawyers, and she's harder on the women lawyers than the men are, and so it's really a complex thing. But I want to thank you for using that term, because now you have my mind working. Because I said, oh, that's what everyone wants. Everyone really wants a mentor, a champion. And then, as you say, there's an aspect of, being grateful and all of that. But where there's a level of reciprocity, for example, I had someone who was a mentor for me. And then one day, to my surprise, he just made this passing comment. And he said, well, you've been helpful to me. And so I was lucky that I asked this question, because in the past, sometimes I let those things go by. And I said, in what way? And then he laid out about 7 or 8 ways that I had been helpful to him. And I was startled, because he was saying that exactly what you're saying. We're all on paths. And just because someone's a mentor champion, they're learning new things all the time too. That's how they stay on top of their game. And part of staying on top of their game is having new blood. It's just like a tree, sprouting new limbs or flowers or buds. And so I really want to thank you for that. That is really a clear distinction that I haven't heard anyone else use that term, a mentor champion. I want 10 of those.
Exactly. We all do.
I want 10 of those, and I'm sure people in our audience want that too.
The funny thing about a mentor champion, the funny thing about a mentor champion, though, when you find those in your life, you will find your growth happening exponentially fast. And the reason is not so much of their brilliance, but when you find a mentor champion, someone that champions you, at least in my personality, and I think the majority of my clients that I'm reflecting on here that have mentor champions in their world, you strive so hard that you're not going to disappoint that person. You're going to live up to everything they say about you. they're your champion. And it actually accelerates your growth when you find a mentor champion exponentially, because the last thing you want to do is disappoint that person.
I also love the mentor champion. Interestingly enough, it brought to mind the converse. Those times in the relationship, whether it's when the student outgrows the master or whatever that difference of opinion is, when there's betrayal, there's so many famous partnerships or relationships where it gets to a point. I won't name names. Maybe I should.
I'll drop a couple of names.
Freud and Jung is a big one. That sometimes a parting of the way happens. Sometimes a student starts off something completely new and different.
And that's okay. I'm really more about when we're in a mentor relationship or a mentor champion relationship, it is a different type of relationship than we have, I'll say, seeking out a personal partner, a type of relationship or something. It's a different type of relationship. And we absolutely have to remain, what I'll say, emotionally neutral about it. We can love them and be emotionally attached to them, but not taking it personally, because they're human too. And oftentimes when somebody's a mentor, as I said before, we elevate them to a status that's not humanly achievable.
Dangerous pedestal, pardon me. Yeah, that pedestal. Mm-hmm.
And when they do disappoint us, like, I mean, they're human. When they do disappoint us, if we're not taking responsibility for where we've put them and how we're being emotionally attached to them, and if it's in an unhealthy way, that can come crashing down around us as if a betrayal, when really, actually, we're the ones who set that situation up to happen. So we have to be really careful as we navigate mentor relationships, is making sure that we still know they're human, and that sometimes we just have to learn it's not personal. It could just be a personality quirk. It could be anything. But sometimes we have to say, you know, what was my role in this? And sometimes we give them the benefit of the doubt. Other times we say, gosh, they're just having a bad week, a bad day. They've had a fight with their spouse. It's not personal. And so we have to really look at our role in that as well.
Yeah, Sharon, I want to thank you for that. This thing, again, about the, you know, elevating a person to a pedestal, I think that that's really important. But as in my own research, you know, as I've looked over the history of science and scientific invention, it has startled me where you see these huge relationships with these famous people, and sometimes the breakup of the mentor-mentee relationship results in, as you say, exponential growth, or as you say, forced awareness in the mentee. And so two good examples are, you know, Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung, who both are giants in the psychoanalytic community. And then another example that came to mind was David Bohm and Jay Krishnamurti. You know, I was absolutely dumbfounded when I started reading some of the primary source material, where basically David Bohm had just asked the question, and he said he was questioning. He says, well, I don't see, can you explain this? And it became to the point, well, how dare you ask me a question? And so, and what's so fascinating about it is that when you look at Jay Krishnamurti's life and what he represented, that it's mind-boggling, because what it really comes down into a lot of these cases is ego. And so I almost feel like another podcast coming on. We see this thing, ego seems to require conflict, and heightened conflict seems to make the ego bigger for some people. And it reminds me of the old Star Trek episode where the Klingons were fighting the Enterprise, and they were just, you know, the ship was out of control, and they had to get control of their emotions because this was some outside energy. And so again, I know I end up thanking you again and again, but thank you, Sharon. You bring a level of clarity to the topic that's very refreshing. So now I want to move on to something else, which is very personal for me, because I'm going to ask you this question because I know there are listeners out there that this has happened to them. And so the question is very simple, Sharon, is what can a mentee do to keep from feeling devastated and recover when a potential mentor that they have looked up to turns them down or literally lambasts them for asking them to be mentored? You know, how can they stay upbeat about the prospect of asking someone else to mentor them? And I just, a quick aside here before you answer, the reason I am asking that question is because it took me years to recover from asking a person whom I admired, you know, I'm not going to name them, but I was devastated by the nasty way that they came back at me, and I was really horrified because I had held this person in such esteem that when they came back to me in this totally unexpected way, that, you know, almost for 20 years I didn't seek another mentor. That's how crushed I was. And so fortunately I was able, you know, I took 20 years to recover, but it would have been nice to recover in 2 weeks instead, which is that when I look at it, I said, duh, well, Bob, you could just look at it like a stockbroker. It's a numbers game. Ask somebody else. But that's how devastated I was because of the special place that I held this person, and also the relationship they had in my life, And I internalized it, and I said, well, if this person that I looked up to that knows me, I've spent the nights in their house, I've played with their kids, if they don't think I'm worthy to be mentored, then maybe I'm not. And so it placed that doubt. And so that's the question I'd like you to answer, how I have the answer for myself now because I've recovered, but it took me 20 years. So how can you accelerate it to 2 days or 2 hours or 2 weeks for people to keep from being devastated, because that's a real thing.
It is a real thing. And the first part of that I want to share is that the counterpoint of ego, we often say that, you know, people have inflated egos, whatever, and they go out. But the counterpoint of ego, when you think about it, is also society's way to keep us in check, in line, by the labels, the stereotypes, and the other things that our ego doesn't want to hear. It keeps us in line. And so oftentimes ego is necessary and it's out there, but oftentimes I find that we just have to thank it for doing its job so well and saying that we can give it a little vacation right here and let it go and let go of the ego part of it. Because the true gift in the mentor, the request for the mentor and him turning you down, was an opportunity for you to seek new ways, new opportunities. Because I find if we ask someone to mentor us and they turn us down for whatever reason, could be something they're not even able to give voice to, they don't have the time, they don't want to tell you that they're, you know, in the middle of divorce or their child, it could be anything, doesn't really matter. But the true gift in that is that it frees you and allows you to find new ways, find new opportunities. It opens your imagination and your creativity. And I often say that the problem with ego, besides obvious one, is that it always takes things quite personally, and we never know what's going on in another person's mind. We never know. They could have had a moment of feeling unworthy, like, oh my gosh, Bob, we've been knowing, and I know you admire this, but maybe deep down in my soul, you don't know that I feel like I'm an imposter, and I couldn't begin to mentor you. So we don't know what those stories are for people, and oftentimes they are stories about worthiness. Even I've known some men and women that I think are amazing experts in their field, but when you get to know them at a deeper level, you'll find stories of worthiness and people only knew that X or Y or knew this about me, they wouldn't think the way they do about me. And so oftentimes when people turn us down, it's not about us. And that's where the two tips that I always give people is take a nice deep breath, 2, 3, 4, maybe 10, because it does hurt. Take some nice deep breaths and actually approach it from gratitude. Because it's the universe opening you up to other possibilities. And when we express gratitude to the person and to the event happening, we can express gratitude to the person like, thank you for your time, I understand, maybe later, this doesn't change our relationship in any way, whatever feels appropriate to say, but express it from true gratitude. Because the universe is telling us this isn't the way that this message, this learning has to come to you.
It's going to come
to you in other ways.
Yeah, thank you. I listening to you and actually feeling into your response, I know that you are 100% correct, but I have to tell you that the fact that I took 20 years to recover for that, I feel like I was in a Twilight Zone episode where, you know, it was the one where the plane was circling and then they tried to land and they go, oh, that's Idlewild, but that's the World's Fair. And they're from 1960s and the World's Fair was in the 1930s. And so then they go back up into the clouds and they come back down and they go, oh, that's New York City down there, but those look like dinosaurs. So I felt that I was circling, unfortunately, and everything that you have said in your reply is really true, because over that 20-year period, as I learned more about that person that I had asked to mentor me, I saw that he was on the cover of a magazine, and then they had some of his life story, and I said, oh my, oh my goodness, right? I had no idea. So it is exactly what you said. And part of the pain for me was the fact that, unfortunately, was how vocal he was in terms of telling me that I was a jerk and clown for asking him and saying directly, like when somebody points in your face, and this is all in public. You know, I was actually in a restaurant, and the scene was I was in a restaurant, and I was eating breakfast, and I turned, when I came to the restaurant, this is one of my little favorite places that I used to go, and it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and there was nobody sitting next to me, and then when I was almost finished eating, I turned, and here was this guy I knew, right? And so what was painful is that, oh, I was so pleased to see him, and I hadn't seen him in a while. I said, oh, I go, here's my chance. And so this was like the kind of thing, not that just that the person punched a hole in my balloon, then they stopped on it and they cut it up, right? So, and then it was the place where it was. So it was a familiar place that I enjoyed eating. I turned out that this was a place that he went to regularly. I didn't know that. And the hardest part for me to reconcile, which was part of why it took so long, was that his public persona, you know, he was this big guy in the community, he had won all these awards for doing things, and yet, you know, on the flip side, you know, knowing some of these other things that I found out over the years was, as you say, it was best that that he told me no, but it was more the way. This is about, it's sometimes not what you say, it's the way you say it. So the way he said it to me just devastated me. It crushed me for a long time. And because I did not seek out mentors after that. So I want to thank you. I think that that's a good, you've given our listeners a solution, you know, a way to approach it. And that's a good idea, not to put people on the pedestals. We don't even have to move to the clay feet aspect. Someone may be skilled at this particular thing or area, but then there are other aspects of their life. And then the famous story I like to relate is the one about Albert Einstein. He goes to speak at some conference, and he took his daughter, and he comes home. And then the wife says, well, where's, I forget the daughter's name, Isabel or whatever. And he was like, I don't know. Well, you took her to the conference. You've got to bring her back. So we can't say that we know Einstein was a genius, but in that area of his life, that wasn't so smart. So, Sharon, I want to thank you for being our featured guest today. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the quality and depth and the breadth and the scope of your answers, because just that one nugget of using the term mentor champion, I am going to be using my telescope to find me some mentor champions. And also, and I believe that anyone can do this, since I have mentors, I am going to now be thinking of ways that I can be more supportive to them and say, hey, listen, you're a guy that loves tennis. Here's a gift certificate for $20 to, you know, whatever, some token thing. Or I saw that this thing over here is going to be available. So, you know, have things going more in their direction rather than always being like a supplicant asking that, as you say, to keep in mind that over time, especially where it's a bi-directional relationship. So that is very helpful what you've added here. So I want to thank you for being our featured guest today, Sharon.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure. If I could just add one quick little note about the person who was so cruel at the restaurant, knowing that I find it helpful when throughout those 20 years, as you said you were recovering, I'm sure that you learned the lesson from him. He's one of those momentary mentors. You never treated anybody the same way. You knew this lesson very deep into your soul. And at that moment, I always like to say, when those moments hit me like that, I know that that's the moment I become a better person. Because I'm going, I learned this, and I would never treat a person that way. So we call those the minute mentors.
can you
I love that, the minute mentors.
The minute mentors? Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and he was a minute mentor. But during those 20 years, I can guarantee you that you became a better, more compassionate, more empathetic person and became better at everything you do because you're like, I could never put somebody through that.
Great. So what I'll say is that I agree with you, but that's a wonderful right brain answer, Sharon. I'm going to give you my left brain answer. My left brain answer says catastrophic bifurcation.
True.
So
hey,
before
that's
and
the
after.
Ego talking, man. That's the
yes,
ego popping.
Yes, yes, yes. And I was never the same after that. And what's interesting is that I did, because this person actually was a family member, that's part of what made this such a harsh thing. And I did see him several times afterwards. And then each time it was less and less and less. And I remember my brother saying to me the last time I saw him alive, he said, well, you know, this guy is just about himself. So anything that is not about him, he's not interested in. And so I remember when it was announced that he had passed away, and several people that I knew that, you know, I knew him. And they asked me if I was going to the funeral. And, you know, because it was a big funeral, it was on TV. And I said, why would I be going to his funeral? You know, I remember because that for me, that would be very false. That, you know, I wasn't having conversations, and I felt no duty to do that, even though he was somebody that I knew. And, you know, I was sorry he passed away. So, but I was like, as you say, I learned the lesson, and here we are. This is many years later, but, you know, I'm still talking about it. And but I'm glad that I was able to heal that. That's the lesson. I'm hoping that for other listeners, they can collapse that process, because that's really what we're looking to do on the show, is show people where the rocks are. Where's the pier so you don't get washed away by the tidal current that sweeps you out and you don't have on your life vest? Okay, so thank you very much, Sharon.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure to be with you again.
Yes, we really enjoyed it. And, you know, Sharon, I must say one of the things that you, when you mentioned it in our broadcast today, you said no whining. I said, oh, come on, just a little bit of whining. If I can't whine, what can I do?
Well, don't whine to your mentors. You can whine to your friends.
No, I have to whine to my mentor. But, you know, I must say there were so many synchronistic moments in our interview today, and one of the thoughts that came to mind, I had not heard, I love your phrase, the minute mentor, that we change over time, each of us, and how we were at 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 and 30, we're different over time. Our beliefs change, our behaviors change, our needs change. So in terms of having a lifelong mentor, or a momentary mentor, it has to do with who we are. Because I know with my own personal interactions with people, sometimes someone did a behavior and it bothered me. And I find that I come to a place that's all right. That has nothing to do with anything. And, you know, my mentor that I talked about in the beginning, that over time in his career as a radio broadcaster, as a teacher, as an actor, as a dancer, everyone described the same personality, that Andre was such a special soul that everybody recognized him the same way. And one of the special things about him that I saw when I, you know, told someone of his passing, she said, oh, no, and she just remembered immediately how he had been generous to her and how he had acknowledged her as a competent and beautiful person. And that was what I think so many of his students loved, that he acknowledged each person's individuality, their genius. And so I think having that relationship where you know that someone is in your corner to guide you and that you can be safe with them and be loved with them and be accepted with them is just a wonderful experience to have in your lifetime. And I think we should, you know, go out there, seek mentors, and be a mentor. I know the richness it has brought to my life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And what a wonderful gift knowing that you've had that opportunity, because it is so rare. It's so rare to find people like that. And knowing that it wasn't false. I mean, when everyone says that about someone, you know that that's their true soul. So that's lovely.
Yes, yes. Now, Sharon, you have got such a wealth of information about so many things. And, you know, Bob and I just admire you greatly. You have such a fantastic body of work. Would you tell our audience how they can contact you and how they could work with you?
Oh, absolutely. If you would like to learn more about me, go to SharonSaylor.com. My last name is spelled S-A-Y-L-E-R, so it's SharonSaylor.com. And you can contact me through the website. A lot of people do, and I enjoy that. I also have great blog posts over there on all sorts of topics. And I also, if I can share a free gift, it's if you go to SharonSaylor.com/gift, one of my favorite little mini books that I've wrote, it's about, I don't know, 25, 30 pages long. It's Discover the 7 Things Nobody is Telling You That Can Cost You Clients, Sales, and Even Your Career. So this is very similar to the kinds of things we've been talking about today, is making conscious choices and listening to the different messages that we're receiving so we can be in control of what we do with our lives. So, yeah, if you want to pop over to SharonSaylor.com/gift, and get that great little ebook. It's a lot of fun. And
okay.
There are some comments in there about ego and other things, so let me know what you guys think about it.
All right. So audience, do that. I'm sure you will enjoy reading what Sharon has on her website. Again, that's Sharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, Saylor, S-A-Y-L-E-R, SharonSaylor.com. And also, Sharon, we want to thank you for the generous gift for our audience. So, listeners, you can go to SharonSaylor.com/gifts and get that book that Sharon is offering you.
Yes, Sharon, I just want to say, as we wind down to the end of our show, one of the topics that we discussed last time was your book, Mindfulness in Action. As we close out here, I just want to ask you to comment briefly on something that you said in the book. In terms of mindfulness, because mindfulness, the meditation, is sweeping the country as a fad in both corporate world and people's personal lives, and that's great as a technique, but many people don't really understand what it means to live mindfully. They can think of it as a technique, a stress management technique, but you discuss clearly what it means to live mindfully. So I just like you to talk a little bit about that, and in your closing remarks, that you, in your book, you say save time to hug your kids and pay attention to your loved ones, and then in one of your chapters, you talk about that old truism saying, on their deathbed, nobody wishes that they'd spent more time in the office. Can you just close us out with that?
Oh, absolutely, and that comes into this idea of how we can mentor without even mentoring, knowing that, you know, that label on our head. And that's going through life, seeing how we can be of service. And this isn't self-serving type of service. This is just when the opportunity arises and someone needs service, to be of service. And that includes hugging your kids, letting them know they're loved. One of the things with my own kids that I'll share briefly is, I know, and I've told them many times, hey, I know, I screwed up. There are times that, you know, we weren't happy with each other, and I screwed up. But I hope you know you were always loved. And they'll both have said to me, yes, we knew that. And so going through your day mindfully of how you can help other people, what do you know that can be of service to people? And this isn't the ego. This is just from gratitude and from appreciation and from a place of service, that you won't even be aware that you've mentored someone or how many times you've helped people or changed their lives when you come from that place of gratitude and appreciation. And that's, to me, what mindfulness in action is. It's not just sitting there relaxing and going om. It's how do I take what I know and what I'm here for and what I'm good at out into the world and share it. And to me, that creates peace in myself and it creates a larger peace in the world.
Wonderful, Sharon. So what final thoughts or key idea would you like our audience to take away from today's broadcast?
I said be of service, and also don't be afraid to ask, because asking is never fatal. Even if you've heard the word no in your life, you're still here, so you know it's not fatal. So don't be afraid to ask. Just be of service, and also don't be afraid to ask.
Wonderful, Sharon. So, audience, I'd like to thank you for listening, and I want to thank you again, Sharon, for being our featured guest today. And I want to thank our audience again for listening wherever you are in whatever time zone you are in right now. We welcome and look forward to receiving your comments about the show. Please let us know if there are topics or guests you would like us to invite back. Please contact us through our website with your feedback and suggestions. Remember, listeners, if you'd like to experience the same benefits our coaching clients get with us and learn how you can get control of your own schedule, including easy ways to dissolve your chronic pain, stress, and anxiety, then give us a call at 954-900-2179. Again, that's 954-900-2179. Mention that you heard our Stress Free Now podcast show, and your first session is absolutely free. Call today to schedule your appointment. For Christine Wright, this is Dr. Robert Wright Jr. of www.stressfreenow.info. Until next time, be safe and be well.